Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, it's been 15 years since Viagra was introduced in the United States. How has the little blue pill changed sex in America? And are we the better for it? We talked to a sociologist at Colgate University whose findings led to the book The Rise of Viagra.
But first, got a hankering for something salty? Even if you don't, chances are you consume far more sodium than the daily recommended amount. A 2012 report released by the Centers for Disease Control found that the average American consumes nearly 50% more sodium than they should, and that nearly 90% of us eat too much salt, which can lead to hypertension, increasing our risk of heart disease and stroke.
For many of us, hypertension is a medical condition that can be avoided. One of the world's top experts on high blood pressure and hypertension joins us to explain the impact of salt on our health. Dr. Norman Kaplan is a professor of internal medicine at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas, where he's been on the faculty for over four decades. Dr. Kaplan literally wrote the book on high blood pressure 10 times. The 10th edition of his textbook, Kaplan's Clinical Hypertension, was published in 2010, and he's currently working on an 11th edition. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Kaplan. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, you literally wrote the textbook on hypertension, and I can't think of any better person to join us on Take Care and explain to us what dietary salt does to the system. Why should we limit our intake of salt?
Well, first, salt is sodium chloride. And whether it's called sea salt or kosher salt or whatever name given to it, if it's salt and it's sodium chloride, it's what we're going after. That's the problem. So don't be fooled by the fact that it doesn't say just plain old salt, like Martin salt. A lot of other kinds of salt are still the problem.
So when it enters our system, what actually takes place in the body that causes it to have harmful effects on our blood pressure?
Well, there is a difference among people in how sensitive their blood pressure is to taking in salt. But if you want to make a general statement, we're eating twice or more the amount of salt than we believe is healthy. And that extra salt is held on by the kidney. The kidneys usually get rid of any extra salt we eat. But a lot of people hold on to too much of that salt. And our blood is basically a salt solution. So it expands the amount of fluid within the circulation. And that's like putting too much water into a pipe. The blood pressure obviously goes up when there's too much fluid volume. And that's basically due to the fact that we're taking in so much salt in our diet.
How would we know if we are one of the people that fall into the group of being sensitive to salt, assuming that we have no symptoms and we don't have hypertension? How do we know if it can be harmful?
Well, the truth of the matter is you can get a test done that would measure the amount of sodium or salt in your 24-hour urine, because that day's urine will tell you what you ate the previous day, and that can be measured. But in truth, most people are going eventually to develop high blood pressure. If you're 60, 70, 80 years old, it's very likely that the upper number, we call it systolic blood pressure, is going to be elevated. It almost always happens. Therefore, I think that everyone should assume that eventually they're going to have a problem with blood pressure. And hopefully, if we can get people to start off when they're young, not taking in too much sodium, then the possibility of developing high blood pressure later in life may be reduced. And that's really what we're trying to tell people.
Dr. Kaplan, is this a universal response of most human bodies to salt and sodium? Because I'll admit, I'm half Japanese, and I grew up on a very salty diet. There was a lot of soy sauce used and a lot of other ingredients, which, you know, I wonder, is it just salt alone, or is it in combination with other dietary factors?
Well, other dietary factors can play a role. We think that if you take too much sodium, it's very likely that you don't get as much potassium, which is another very important mineral, and maybe calcium. So there are other things that go along with the sodium, but it's really mainly the sodium. Now, you said that you often take a Japanese-type diet, which I know is very high in salt because of the soy sauce, but about 80% of the sodium that we take into our body comes not at the table when we add it, you know, with a salt shaker, but it's in the foods that have been processed. Anything that's canned or packaged likely has had salt added to it. And there are two reasons. First of all, we like salt. The taste of salt is something we learn to enjoy. Little bitty babies don't know any better, and when you give them a choice, they don't necessarily pick on sodium as what they enjoy. But eventually, because we keep feeding the extra sodium to little babies, they develop a taste for it. And we like that taste. And if you've ever gone to a really, really low-sodium diet, it doesn't taste very good for a while. Fortunately, if you do that, your taste sensation will change. And after a while, I've had people tell me, you know, once I cut out salt, I went to the baseball game and had a hot dog, and it had so much salt in it, I didn't like it. So we can adjust our sensation for salt, but it's there. The other reason that the people who process our foods add salt is that it increases the volume. So if you take a can of soup, they've had some extra salt put into it because then they can increase the volume that's in that can. Now, it used to be the reason we started using salt was as a preservative. But once we've got a refrigerator, we don't need salt in the food to be a preservative. We can preserve food perfectly well without the salt.
But one thing I want to ask you, Dr. Kaplan, is that isn't a minimum amount of salt in our diet essential to maintaining health?
Yes, it is, because we do need a certain fluid volume, the amount of fluid which is in our circulation. But the body can adjust very well. If you really cut down on the amount of sodium that you take in, the body will hold what it needs, and it won't get rid of as much because you didn't take as much in. But there's very little danger. There is. Now, we're in Texas. And Texas gets very hot in the summer. And for many, many years, we have seen football players who begin to practice, would you believe, in August when the temperature is 105 or, you know, something like that. And if they sweat a lot, they can lose a lot of sodium and they begin to feel fatigued and tired and they can't do their physical activity. So we have learned you do need some extra salt when you first begin to sweat a great deal with physical activity. But your body is very smart. It will hold on to as much sodium as you need. So there's really very, very little danger of cutting too much of the amount of sodium in your diet.
Dr. Kaplan, how long after modifying the diet and reducing our salt intake should a person with high blood pressure expect to see improvement?
Oh, it takes a while, but I would say within a month. I think that if you measure your blood pressure at home, which we're trying to get everybody to do that, I think that's the way to really find out, is to get one of these little home blood pressure kits. You can get them at Target or Walmart for $30. Those will tell you, taking your own blood pressure, you can follow what happens when you cut down on sodium. And usually within a month, you will see a fall in blood pressure.
And so you talked about processed foods. It's important to eliminate that. And also, too, it's hidden in things like bread and rolls. I was surprised to find are a high source of sodium.
Oh, yes. It's what we call hidden salt, because you really can't tell it unless you compare it to a very low-sodium type of food. But the food processors are learning, and there has been a definite, although still fairly small, reduction in the average amount of salt that is in our processed foods. They're doing a much better job in Great Britain, in Finland, in Sweden, a number of other places in the world have really come to grips with this problem of adding all the salt in the processed foods. And the food processors, the food manufacturers, are gradually cutting down. And that's really what we have to try to do. It's tough for an individual person to do it, because we have to have foods that we don't make that are processed in one way or another. So it's the food processors who we are really trying to convince to cut down the sodium in the food. And if they do it in a gradual way, then I don't think we'll really notice it and be bothered by the fact that the food doesn't taste good enough.
Dr. Norman Kaplan is professor of internal medicine at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center at Dallas. He is also the author of the textbook Kaplan's Clinical Hypertension. The 10th edition was published in 2010, and he's currently working on the 11th edition. Thank you so much, Dr. Kaplan, for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
For more information on salt, hypertension, and Dr. Kaplan, visit the Take Care webpage at wrvo.org/takecare. Podcasts of our show are available on iTunes and the WRVO website.
Coming up, how one of the first drugs marketed directly to consumers changed the face of sex in America. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.